Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone, we thought we'd give you a wee taste of our book club podcast because they're some of our favourite conversations to have and we feel like you're missing out if you aren't part of our book club. So, in saying that, if you want to head to the show notes and join Shit You Should Read About, we have a little discount code for you. Enjoy! Hi, Bookie.
Bookies!
Hello. Thank God you're here. Honestly, thank God.
God you're here. It does feel like we talk to you all the time. Like, Luce and I are always joking that we feel like we record book club podcasts all the time.
Like, they're our monthly podcast, And it feels like we're doing them 24/7.
But I love it.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing to be feeling like you're doing all the time. We're coming to you from quite an interesting state. First of all, obviously, our pink and yellow blanket fort.
Yeah, which I'm just like, sweet. We call it the Sahara Desert. It's so hot under here. Plus, I'm a little bit sick, so I'm sort of running a gentle fever. I look disgusting, like a rat girl.
And like, honestly, if there's one way to get sick, it's sitting under a hot,
in close proximity with
the bowel.
Oh no.
It's fine. I feel like we're both not running at 100, but we will get there.
Yeah.
We weren't even meant to be talking about being out of the fort.
Hey, I just wanted you guys to know the state of my well-being before we start.
The state of the well-being is also feeling a bit sort of enraged, a bit crazy right now. As you all know, we're writing a book and just no one tells you how hard the process is, one, to write it, two, of getting a cover that feels like you.
Honestly, I feel like we've been chatting to some of you in the Geneva chat about topics we really want to make sure we cover in the book and things that we want to make sure are in there. But one thing that we've been on a deep and intense journey of is like realizing the kind of reality behind the romanticism of writing a book. It is fucking hardcore.
It's hard. Everything from like, you're not just thinking about what goes into it. You're thinking about what it's going to look like. You're thinking about the marketing. And then you're like, oh, actually, no, I should just be thinking about the content. And then, in fact, you have no thoughts sometimes when it comes to trying to write. And
yeah,
it feels crazy. But, So, anyway, we're coming to you from a bit of a wobbly, like, excited but always nervous.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be nervous until the middle of July when it's out.
Me too. And thank you all for being here and listening to our stresses about it.
I know.
One thing that has helped is reading books that inspire us.
Yes.
And I have to say, this book, Watching Women and Girls, was the first book I read like in this genre of short stories or essay collections or like, you know what they're calling, like the it girl books or the hot girl books or whatever it is, which I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But this book I picked up in the common area of sort of the workspace that Belle and I worked in, and they were giving away a whole lot of books.
Like a garage sale, basically, like a Marie Kondo of the office, like, oh, just these, oh, just get them done.
Yeah, they got sent a lot of books to review or whatever, and this was there, and I just picked it up because it looked cool. It turns out, like, it wasn't even released. When we were reading it, it wasn't even released, like...
What? I did not know that.
Yeah, because remember, we tried to do it for book club, like, months ago, and it, like, was not available in the US yet. It hadn't even been released over there. And so it feels like quite a niche thing to have read, a niche pick and a niche... Like, I didn't start with Nora Ephron. I didn't start with Joan Didion. I started with Watching Women and Girls.
But like, honestly, an incredible pick. And I feel like... I feel like you reading this started our idea for the book club.
Yeah, because it was so many different stories and it was like someone's going to relate to each of these stories. Yes. And so I gave it to Belle because in the first chapter there's, I can't even remember what the story's called, but in the first chapter there's a girl that is sitting down at a cafe with a man, basically feeling like she has to prove herself to this man, and he says something and she sort of goes back and says, I don't think that's right. And then he says, no, it is. And she's like, I actually have a PhD in this. Or does she just think that? I can't remember.
No,
she says
it. Does. She's yeah. like genuinely qualified in it. Mm. And you gave it to me and you were like, Belle, this is you.
Yeah.
And it was about the time I just started writing Chimes, and we'd been like, a lot of the Chimes were about work at that point. Mm. Read into that as you will. But it's told from the perspective of a woman who maybe used to work in the industry and is watching this dynamic yeah. of this older man who's definitely like fucked some of his colleagues, mm-hmm. and he's like maybe has a sexy thing with this younger girl. And the way the younger woman is like, oh no, oh, you must be right. Just yeah. that was your impetus to give it to me.
Yeah.
Just like, how many times have you seen this and how much does this have to stop? And
yeah,
the like light in your eyes when you handed me this book, I was just like,
okay, I have to read it.
Yeah, must read right now.
No, honestly, like As I said, I'd never read a book of this genre before. And also a lot of you, when we said that we were going to be picking this for the month's read, a lot of you were like, this is the first book I've ever read like this. I usually stay away from nonfiction, or no, this wasn't even nonfiction, this was short stories. Like that you usually don't read this type of thing. Neither, but so many of you loved it and we're so glad.
Yeah.
It's also just such an interesting idea to write a book from the perspective of like, women are always being watched.
Yes.
And what we do when we're being watched and what we do when we're not being watched. And
honestly, after reading this book and after having the gorge, life-altering opportunity to interview Danielle Pender, the author, it's almost all I can think about.
Mm.
And she talks specifically in her interview, and you see this in the book a little bit too, like about this moment where girls become aware of their body
mm.
and start to feel shame. And it reminded me a little bit of like Little Miss Sunshine, if you've seen that. Like,
yes.
I think that oh. film plays with this idea so beautifully. And it really hurt me to think, to kind of zoom out and think about, fuck, how conscious have I been of the way I'm looked at for so long? And in the interview, Danielle talks about growing up in a small town.
Yeah.
And she's like, I've always felt watched. You know, I remember walking to school and construction workers like yeah. watching us. And it just became a phenomenon that she was really obsessed with. And now, honestly, sometimes it's all I can think about.
Oh, especially after moving here, I think about being perceived all the yeah. time, whether it's like the bright colors I'm wearing,
yes.
like the fact that I don't look like I'm from here. It's like just all the European men that sit outside the restaurants yeah. and just look at you.
Yes.
And yeah, I think I was listening again to the interview that Belle did with Danielle, which we'll be playing very soon for you because it's honestly the best part of this whole podcast will be the interview, and listening to it. And it was quite an emotional interview and it was really cute, but it does just, it's not a hot take, but just the way that we are watched all the time, seeing someone write about that. And, like, why is this book not being picked up and made bigger?
I'm shocked. Like, to me, this should be an anthology TV series. And Danielle Pender is fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And you'll see this in the interview. I basically cried.
And yeah.
I'm pretty jaded. I'm pretty sensitive. I'm pretty jaded. And it's hard to make me cry in a situation like that, in a good way.
Mm.
It really hit on a nerve. So I can't wait for you guys to get to listen to that. Another thing that I wanted to kind of mention in relation to the watchingness is she has this really amazing way with words and dialogue that kind of speak into things we're, I would say, like embarrassed to admit we think. Like, and one of the bookies pointed this out in Geneva and said something like, she writes about a woman with a cellulite yes. arm and calls her a greedy bitch.
Yes.
And like how not only is this book about men watching women, but all genders watching
yeah.
watching each other, but particularly women, and how women watching each other is also not necessarily always a supportive and gorgeous
yes.
thing. It really like, oh, and it kind of outs you because you're like, yeah. fuck, in my worst moments, maybe I've said that about someone. That's horrific.
I know, and it feels like that is still, and not to sound man-hatey, but thinking that is still something that has been learned, and I dare say it's been learned from the male gaze. Yes. Like, you didn't grow up and just suddenly think cellulite arm bad. Yes. It's like, where did that come from? Oh, it's because men read like magazines that only have women that look like this in them. Yeah. And like, so it's so, I just think she's so smart. And I loved when that was pointed out in Geneva. I wanted to read another thing that was brought out in Geneva, which it was really cute, but also really sad. I loved so much about this book, but I think the one that got me the most was, I believe, called Sisters. And it made me reflect on my relationship with my sister, who's 7 years younger. It made me think about in 10 years whether we'll still be close and how we probably won't see each other often. And I'm not going to lie, it did bring me to tears. It's something I don't think about, like us ever getting older. She'll have her life and I'll have mine, and we most likely won't be living in our parents' house, so our paths probably won't cross as frequently as they do now. I won't be able to have those end-of-day conversations or runs to Starbucks when she gets off school, and it just hit me really hard that she may become a stranger one day who's pissed at me at her wedding. And I was like,
oh, this shook me to my core.
No. Like, honestly, you bookies are like legends. Like, you're writing these podcasts for us, first of all. But second of all, I was like, that's so true, because very rarely when you're in the moment are you thinking past the moment and how you're going to look back on it. I feel like I do that a bit now.
I think you do it more as you get older. Mm. And that the wedding, I think it's called Three Sisters, mm. that wedding story was one of my favorites, particularly because I'm Katherine Heigl. Go to a lot of weddings, and you know, as you get older, you realize like, oh, these things are really rare mm-hmm. to be together with these close group of friends, that you become more kind of aware that it's a fleeting thing.
Yeah.
So they're really heightened senses of occasion. And when I read that in Geneva, I almost cried because I live far away from my sister and she's 5 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And it is this feeling of like becoming your own countries and kind of flying to visit.
Yes. And it's like, we will never be as close as we were. And
ever.
How do you
reconcile that?
Exactly.
Not to quote God herself, but Joan Didion writes about this in an essay, and she says that marriage is the greatest betrayal to your family. And, it just kicked me in the bones, that one, because it's so true in a telling way.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought that story brought up so wonderfully. And this idea of, like, falling in love to reinvent yourself, and there are always people who know you in such an undeniable way, but how can you kind of disregard that or change that for a more hopeful future for yourself.
Wow. I don't want us to talk about this forever because this is such a good interview to get to, but I did want to read two reviews that I loved.
Okay.
One of them, just watching some women and girls, basically, and this is just great. Like, that was a, like, 5-star review,
no,
I think.
No, love.
And then, I'm sorry, but this was just the most miserable collection of stories I've ever read. And, okay, I wanted to pull out that one because I saw a few people that didn't like the book because they thought it was mundane, or they thought it was boring, or they thought it was not complex enough. And I was like, no, this is what it's like.
Why it's good.
I know. Yeah. I was like, it's good because it's not romantic. It's good because it's like, this is just someone overhearing a conversation and turning it into a world, because that conversation to you at the time, like, basically summed up your whole world.
Yes.
Like, I don't know. I think I saw another comment that said the girls that get it, and the girls that don't. And
100%.
I was like, if you read this book and you loved it, I think maybe you've thought hard about being perceived in your life.
Yeah.
And if you read this book and you didn't love it because you thought it was boring, you might be one of the lucky ones that hasn't overthought how you're perceived too much.
Oh, that's an eloquent way to frame it. I was going to be more scathing, but I'm like that when I really like something. I'm like, I just
know.
Don't know why you wouldn't like it.
I know.
But yes, it is like, if you're expecting a grand heroine, no, this is flawed women going about their like daily lives.
If you want to hear more of our conversations about the books we're reading in our book club, you can come and join Shit You Should Read About, which is the very apt name for our book club, where we give you access to our group chats, our full podcast episodes, our weekly prompts, our roundups. It's just the cutest community on the internet. And even better, if you click the link in the show notes, you can get a discount to become a Cisca supporter and join the book club. So see you there.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.